Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Wonderful people who love the Lord and just feeding on His Word, living by His Word, being blessed through His Word. Amen. I like to also say hearty congratulations on your graduation from Rhema yesterday. Yeah, you folks sacrificed a lot to make that happen. I know she had a lot of classes and reading assignments, and there were some weekends. Immediately after church, you'll have to rush to school and all that. But you folks, you are so gracious, and you made that easy. Well, what in praying and just checking on the inside of me, I was awake still till about 2 a.m. this morning, and then I was awake like 5 something, just checking on the inside of me. You know, one thing is, if you've been preaching a while, you can just have a rehash of material that you preached before. But I'm always mindful of, Lord, what do you want for these people at this time? What do you want me to share with your people? And so I asked her what she had in her heart, you know, just in a general sense. And then, because she's the shepherd here, the under shepherd of this assembly, she's the one the Lord will hold accountable for whatever happens here. While I'm here, I'm under her authority. Amen. So, just in praying, I seemed to feel led in my heart to share along a certain line. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read 2 verses there and we'll take them as our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Father, we thank you for an opportunity we have to fellowship with you and to fellowship with one another this morning. As we approach your word once again, we approach it humbly and reverently. We trust that you'll speak to our hearts. We mix faith with your word, and as a result, we profit thereby. Thank you, Father. I ask that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of you unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you like to title this message this morning, you might want to title it Able Ministers of the New Testament. Able Ministers of the New Testament. You know, in the text we read, the Bible says we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. You know, in ourselves, we're nothing. You see, it's Jesus who is everything, and it's in Him that we are something. Are you listening to that? So we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. The Bible says, but our sufficiency is of God. And what has God done? He has made us able ministers of the New Testament. And it says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? The letter kills. It's the Spirit that gives life. And like I said, we're talking about able ministers of the New Testament. 4 things really that I'd like to share with us along this line. Number 1, the mandate. The mandate. What is our mandate as believers? Our mandate is twofold. And what's that? World evangelization and Christian discipleship. That's the mandate that has been given to the church. World evangelization and Christian discipleship. You know, in Mark 16, in verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then it goes ahead from verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's verse 18. So the church, the body of Christ, has been given a task. What's that task? To win the lost. A primary part of that task, to win the lost. Who did Jesus give the Great Commission to? Did he give it to preachers? No. He gave it to all of us. Every single believer has been given the Great Commission. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18 says, and all things, in context, all these things of the new creation are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every single believer has been given the ministry of reconciliation. We all should be involved in reaching the lost. You know, the best way and God's way of growing a church is through evangelism. That's it. Sometimes in the body of Christ today, we have a lot of church migration. Church migration really is not growth, because it's just plus one minus one, plus five minus six. We're just moving from church to church. No. There are people who are not saved. There are people that don't know Jesus. And yes, everybody, you should love your church and you should want your church to grow. Right? Everybody should. But more importantly than the church you attend growing is a heart desire to see the body of Christ growing. To see the kingdom of God expanding. To see the lost getting saved. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So, the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, thank God for speaking in tongues. But that's not all there is to it. The actual essence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is that it's an endowment with power so we can be witnesses. So world evangelization, reaching the lost. And the second part of it, Christian discipleship. Christian discipleship. In Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Then 19 says, and he said to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So you see those two things, getting the lost saved, and secondly, getting believers grounded, getting believers discipled. Who should be involved with doing that? All of us. When I was in secondary school, there was a chap, I led him to the Lord, and then I followed him up. I was assigned to him. Yeah. For a time in his life, he wasn't living for God. He backslid. But I kept at it, and kept at it, and kept at it, and kept at it, and kept at it. I didn't give up on him. We pray for him. We check on him. You know, we left school, just kept at it, and kept at it, and kept at it. I stumbled on him just last week. You know, I was coming from a flight, and then we were on the same flight. Landed in Abuja. I looked at him, I called his nickname, you know, his secondary school nickname. As soon as he saw me, he hugged me. He's walking with the Lord now. You know, nothing like seeing somebody get saved and get established. You know, it's not just getting the lost saved. We want to get them grounded. If we don't get them grounded, then they become an easy prey for the devil. Then they easily become mincemeat. And the devil can lure them back into the world. So we don't want that to happen. And that's why we all should be involved with Christian discipleship. Getting the lost saved, and then after getting the lost saved, getting people grounded, getting people established in the faith. And you know the thing, the easiest means and the primary means through which God wants to carry out this mandate of world evangelization and Christian discipleship, do you know what it is? It's a local church. It's a local church. There's no better place to grow than in church. Being committed to a local assembly, being involved in a local assembly, not missing services. You know, in Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And then, you know, being involved in church, there are some people who are here today and they're just seat warmers. That's what they are. If you ask them what department they serve in this church, they have no answer. They serve in the department of Sunday Medicine. There are prim Christians. I know none of you here is one of them, right? Or maybe just a few of you, you know. But listen, plug in. It's for your good. Are you listening to me? It's for your good. There's something about service. There's something about serving. Let me tell you something. We're going to stand before Jesus one day. Do you think your life was just get born, be breastfed by your mother, and then get weaned from breast milk, eventually start crawling, start walking, and then go to school, primary school, secondary school, tertiary institution, and then you get a job, and then you marry, and then you work, and then you retire, and then you die? Listen, if that was what all that there was to life, then life is meaningless. Let me tell you something. Let your life count for eternity. Let your life count for eternity. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. God wants us to be successful in this life. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. The Bible says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profited little, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So godliness is profitable unto the life that now is. Serving God pays off in this life. But if it is only in this life that we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. There is an eternity to live for. Let me tell you something. We are going to the same heaven, no? The same heaven that Paul is. When it's time that they are giving rewards. And, you know, have you ever gone to a prize giving day? Maybe in primary school or secondary school or graduation ceremony of a university. And they say, the best in this subject, so and so, he comes out or she comes out. And then sometimes the best in that subject, the same person. And then the best in that, the same person. Then the best in that, the same person. Then the best in that, the same person. You know. Have your parents ever been there before and they're saying that that person, is it two heads that they have? Did somebody not send them to school the way I sent you to school? You know, you can just be there and they're calling everybody and you're just looking like you came to mark register. Listen, there's going to be God's great award day. There's the judgment seat of Christ. We must live for that day. Make your life count. There are only two things you can take out of this world. Only two. What are they? Your soul, because you're a spirit, so you take your soul with you, right? And the second thing, the souls you want for Jesus. Those are the only things you can take to heaven. Yeah, does God want us to prosper? He does. Does God want us to have money? He sure does. He doesn't want money to have us though, but he wants us to have money. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. But listen, let's be involved with reaching the lost. If I were to ask, you know, this is August, right? The last Sunday of August and the penultimate day in August. Tomorrow is August 31st. So that's 8 months of this year that are about ending and will be ending by 12 midnight tomorrow. As this year don't taste so, have you led one person to Jesus this year? Don't tell me the answer. Just ask yourself, have I led one person? Just one soul. You know, operation, where is your soul? Not your own soul, but the one you lead to the Lord. Amen. Let's get involved. Let's get involved with reaching the lost. Be a person of contagious faith, contagious Christianity, that you just infect everybody that is around you. Amen. World evangelization and Christian discipleship. Get plugged in the local church. Serve in a department. If there's a home cell system, get involved there. There's a men's fellowship or a women's fellowship, get involved there. You see, sometimes some people that we never see their brick light, you know, they don't tithe faithfully. They are not committed. They are not involved. They are not going through a crisis. They are now angry that everybody hasn't come to see them. You want to ask, who did you go to see? Are you listening? So, our mandate. Let's be clear about it. What's our mandate? World evangelization and Christian discipleship. Getting the lost saved. And after getting them saved, seeing to it that they get grounded. You know something? If you're part of a local assembly and you're involved, and the lost are getting saved in that assembly, that also goes to your credit. You are the one that ushered. You are the one that cleaned the toilet. You are the one that's doing the media recording. You are the one that, whatever capacity you are serving in. The Bible says, those who wait by the stuff and those who go to the battle, they shall patter like. Are you listening to me? So that's the first thing. The mandate. And what's the mandate? World evangelization and Christian discipleship. So we need to take that mandate very seriously. Well, the second thing, the message. The message. Let me tell you something. The means by which we reach the lost, the means by which believers are discipled, are grounded in the faith, is the message. And what's that message? Is the word of God. So the message is the thing. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the gospel is God's power, is God's ability to save men. You know, God didn't say go into all the world and argue with sinners that there is God. God didn't say go to all the world and convert people into Christianity. No, he says preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. You see, my own is to give the message. I can't convict the sinner. That's not my job. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. My own is to preach the message. By preaching the message, I'm giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. He will use that message to bring conviction to the spirit of that lost man. The message. The message. You know, something that's interesting. You know, in actual fact, many times we preach everything but the gospel. We preach everything but the gospel. You know, what we call gospel sometimes is not gospel. What exactly then is the gospel? Well, Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we could say this, that the gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. The gospel is how God made righteousness available to mankind. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You know, we should help people every way we can. Sometimes people getting a medical checkup helps them. Sometimes people learning how to invest money, how to plan money, how to save, blesses them, right? But that's not the purpose of church. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Yes, a church can have certain outreaches, can do some weekend programs that cater to certain of these needs. But Sunday morning, particularly a most serious service, look, it's the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You know, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. in 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1 to 5. It said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, and I was with you in fear, in weakness, and in much trembling. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice that Paul said, he determined not to know anything among them, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Sometimes I want to ask some people, some things they preach, where is Jesus in that message? If it's not Christ-centered, it's not the gospel. If it's not Christ-exalting, it's not the gospel. If it's not about the finished work of Christ, it's not the gospel. Now, of course, we ought to teach everything, marriage, prayer, fasting, holiness, everything, right? But listen, everything we preach should still take its roots in that finished work of redemption. Everything we preach should come from that message, from that focal point. You know, we're not in the old covenant today, right? We're in the new covenant. The old covenant was the law. We're not in that dispensation. We're in the dispensation of grace now. Now, does that mean we shouldn't preach from the Old Testament? Of course we should. Paul preached from the Old Testament. Nothing wrong with preaching from the Old Testament. In Romans chapter 15 verse 4, the Bible tells us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So aforetime means that were written before, talking about the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. They are written for our learning, so we should learn. 1 Corinthians 10:11. It says the things that happened to Israel, they happened to them as end samples, examples, right? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, the Old Testament, we have examples. And those examples are for our admonition. See, the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Bible is progressive revelation. You don't get full light, full truth, full knowledge reading the Old Testament. The Old Testament is types and shadows. Now, Pastor Chisom is right here, right? As she's seated there, her shadow is cast on the ground, isn't it? Imagine that while she was on the platform and she called me up and I wanted to greet her, imagine I was trying to shake her shadow. Will you not send for my mother? Let me tell you something. The real has come. Let's stop trying to live inside the shadow. Let's learn from the Old Testament, but let's live in the new. You see, the principles in the Old Testament, they are still applicable today. The examples in the Old Testament, they are still applicable today. But you see, the practices in the Old Testament, they are not applicable anymore. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need to feed on the entire counsel of God's word. In Acts 20:27, Paul said to the leaders of the church at Ephesus, said, I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So we need all the counsel of God, all of it, the entire counsel of God's word. That's what we need. That's what we ought to feed on. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, for the man of God to be thoroughly furnished unto every good work, he needs all scripture. So, all scripture is inspired, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. So we need to study the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. However, can we spend more time in the New Testament than we spend in the Old? You know, our text says God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. It seems to me that there are many preachers that don't know their job description. I've met many preachers who are able ministers of the New Testament, of the Old Testament. But that's not our job description. It's a New Testament. We're in a new covenant. We're in a new covenant. We're in a new covenant. Yes, you will learn from the old. We should. But let's stop trying to live in the old. Let's live in the new. So, read Genesis to Revelation. Study everything. I do. I read it through every year. Over and over and over. I've lost count how many times I've read it. And I keep reading it again. Amen. But, can we spend more time in the New Testament? And then, even in the New Testament, how about majoring in the epistles? What are the epistles? The letters from Romans to Jude. Those are the letters written to the church. That's where the bulk of our diet should come from. Are you listening? You see, you cannot understand what happened in Genesis 3 if you don't understand Romans 5. You cannot understand some Old Testament stories. If you read Genesis about Abraham, and you read Romans, and you read Galatians about Abraham, and Hebrews, you almost think it's two different people. But the New Testament account is the account that God wants the church, is the perspective that God wants the church to have. Are you listening to me? So let's live in the epistles. I tell you something for free. You are what you eat. You are what you eat is a fact. If the only place you read in the Bible is Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, woe unto you, woe unto you. It won't be long before your life will be woeful. There were certain things God said to backsliding Israel that he's not telling to the church. When we read those things, we must interpret them in the light of the epistles. Do you know, even among the things that Jesus said, Jesus in his earth walk ministered as a prophet under the old covenant. Hope you know that. The book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was still Old Testament. It was the end after his resurrection. It was that part of the ending that the new covenant came into effect. The Bible tells us that the testament is not with force until the death of the testator. Hebrews 9:15-17. It's after a man is dead that you talk about his last will and testament. In the same way, it was through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ that the new covenant came into effect. Are you listening to me? So, our message is the whole Bible, particularly the New Testament. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know what I did. Something I stepped on. So, our message is the whole Bible, but especially the New Testament, and more so the epistles. Our message should be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word. The written word is given to unveil the living word to us. Now, I know, I've seen some people, they'll try to see Jesus inside everything. You say somebody gave somebody food, they'll say that food was Jesus. They say somebody was thirsty and he drank water. They say drink is Jesus. Water is Jesus. Am I a guy now? I know it's Christ-centered, but yes, it's Christ-centered, but the Bible is literal. Bible says, Adam, God told him, of all the trees in the garden, we freely eat. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. I've had people say to me that there wasn't a physical tree. My guy, relax. That he didn't actually eat fruit. So what did he eat? If there's something literal, we take it literal. It's when it can be literal that we say, okay, this could not be literal. Do you get the point I'm making? So, let's feed on the word. Let's build the word of God into our spirits. Let's preach the word of God to the lost. 2 Corinthians 5:19 in the Amplified Classic, it says God was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world into favor with himself, not counting up or holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. That's how it is in the Amplified Classic. So, the gospel is not that God is mad with the sinner. The gospel is that God is not holding the sinner's sins against him. The gospel is that God has already reconciled the sinner to himself in Christ. But the sinner needs to accept that message of reconciliation. If he doesn't accept it, he will die and go to hell. Amen. So we must preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel. Do I believe in entertainment? Yeah, it's good. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. I believe there's a place for entertainment. I watch movies sometimes. Yeah. I was in Atlanta the other day. I went to watch Spider-Man. Spider-Man was my childhood hero as a little boy. There's still a little boy in me. Amen. And I had fun. Yeah. It's okay. Is there a place for entertainment? You like music? You like some of those things? Well, perhaps. But let me tell you something. Entertainment is not the power of God unto salvation. See, there's a proverb, the part of the country I'm from, that the wife will use dance to marry. Na sight see, she go see. Take go. Iyawota fijofe inronluma wolo. Are you listening? The wife that is dance, that we used to marry, she will sightsee and walk away. Because somebody else can dance. You know, sometimes we use entertainment to get them. We now want to use gospel to keep them. It won't work. They'll go and look for more entertainment. Let's present the gospel. Let's not use gimmicks. Is there a place for entertainment? Perhaps. But church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Let's preach the word. Let's let the word of God be primary in our message. Let's put out scripture. Put out God's word. That's what's going to change people's lives. That's what's going to get believers to grow up. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So it's God's word that will get us to grow up spiritually. Acts 20:32, and now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So it's God's word that will build us up. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It's the word of God that delivers people. It's the word of God that heals people. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the word of God that makes people free, the knowledge thereof. John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. To sanctify means to set apart, to make holy. It's God's word that makes us holy. You want people to live a holy life? Preach the word of God to them. John 15:3, ye are clean through the words I've spoken unto you. So it's God's word that cleanses our lives. It's God's word that transforms us. The message must be primary. The message is central to Christianity. So, remember, we're talking about able ministers of the New Testament. And we said this, that every believer is an able minister of the New Testament. Yes, some of us are called to pulpit ministry, but most of us are not. Whether you're called to pulpit ministry or not, you're a minister of reconciliation. The Great Commission belongs to all of us. So, first thing we talked about is the mandate. We said the mandate is twofold. And the mandate belongs to the entire church. What's the mandate? World evangelization and Christian discipleship. Secondly, we said the message. What's the message? Jesus Christ and him crucified. The entire counsel of God's word. All of it. You need to know about prayer. You need to know about fasting. You need to know about holiness. You need to know about evangelism. You need to know about marriage. You need to teach about sex. We need to teach everything that's in the Bible. Because if it's in the Bible, God is talking to us. The Bible is God speaking to us. So we need to feed on the entire counsel of God's word. Amen. But major in the New Testament and particularly in the epistles. So does it mean we can't preach from the old? We can. Does it mean we can't preach from the gospels? We should. Does it mean we can't preach from the Acts of the Apostles? Of course we should. That's the history of the early church. But when we preach from those places, we must preach it in the light of the finished work of redemption. And from the standpoint of the epistles, are you listening to me? So, the mandate, the message. Well, third thing, the ministry. The ministry. What do I mean, the ministry? The actual touching of people's lives. See, ministry is service. Ministry, you see, there's something I like to call it man of Godism. Man of Godism. I believe it's devilish. Yeah. I'm the man of God. When I come in, everybody, you know, you now become Oru, that nobody must see your face. You see, some people, don't look at his face. Don't look at his face. Ha! Are you God the Father? That you can't see his face and leave. You know, you now become an idol that is being worshipped. I believe that's devilish. A minister is a servant. Ministry is service. The pastor is the chief servant in this assembly. Are you listening? He's not a status symbol. Man of God. You know, when you're coming, then six cars. Then this one, shoot that one. You know, nothing wrong with convoy. Some people do those things. I'm not attacking anybody. But I'm just saying, we mustn't lose the actual sense of what ministry is. That ministry is service. It's about touching people's lives. It's about helping people. You know, the creator of the universe, they slapped him. The people he created. Kai. They plucked his beard. You know, it's unthinkable. Unthinkable. He created them. He washed their feet. Washing of feet is a menial task that it's slaves that do. He did that. Ministry service. And like I said, God's method of reaching the lost, of getting believers discipled, primarily is the local church. Is there a place for Bible colleges? Of course. But a Bible college cannot take the place of the local church. When it comes to grounding believers, getting believers established, you need the local church. No, there are people that have online pastors. Are you listening? That tied to online ministries. I'm sorry for thee. I know they are not here. It's dangerous. No, Jesus said they are scattered as sheep without a shepherd. He didn't say as sheep without an apostle. He didn't say as sheep without a teacher. He didn't say as sheep without a prophet. Let me tell you something. You need a shepherd. You need a pastor. You need a local church. Even if you are an apostle, you need a pastor. In the local church, the highest office is the office of the pastor. You know, there's a new rave now. Everybody wants to be apostle. They think, you know, that I'm apostle means I'm the highest. So everybody submits to me. Everybody tithes to me. Someone said nonsense upon ingredient. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes some of these people are just lefu, you know, nonsense upon ingredient. Just yeah, yeah. Now, of course, are there some people that call themselves apostles who are actually apostles? Yes. But what I'm saying is this. We need the local church. And you need to be committed to a local assembly. Let me tell you something. Your tithe belongs to the local church. They don't come. Talking tithe. All they want is our money. Let me tell you something. What do we want with your money? No, we don't want your money. Eh? It's not your money that we're after. It's your life. It's your growth. The tithe belongs to the local church. Are you listening to me? If you're a member of this assembly, you ought to tithe faithfully. What's the tithe? It's a tenth. There's somebody who say, no, we're not under the law. We shouldn't tithe. Listen. 430 years before the law, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. 250 years before the law, Jacob vowed to tithe of all that God will give him. Tithing came before the law. When the law came, tithing was regulated by the law. Now, we're under the law today. We're not. Should we tithe? Now, listen, we're under grace, right? You know that the standard of grace has never been lower than that of the law. If anything, it's higher. The law says, thou shalt not kill. But you know what grace says? Whoso hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. See, that's higher. Grace is saying, it's not just that you can't kill, you can't hate. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Grace says, whoso looketh at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So lucre na adultery. Na adultery. Na Jesus yanam. You know? Yeah. The law says, love your neighbor as yourself, but don't seek the good of Amalek. Don't seek the good of Moab. You know? But you know what grace says? Grace says, You have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So the standard of grace has never been less than that of the law. So if they did 10% under the law, grace given starts from 10%. So if you haven't done that 10%, you are not yet in grace. Amen. Yeah. And let me tell you something. What's the purpose of the tithe? Listen, if it's like the tithe is going to come to me now, you can say that, yeah, he's looking for my money. It won't come to me. It's your church that it goes to. The tithe belongs to the local church. To what end? So that the doors of the church can stay open. As we are now, this is probably gen that we are using. That gen, now this runam. This microphone, I'm sure you went to the group that sell electronics. Said we're a ministry. Look at our incorporation papers. We need some microphone. And they just said, oh, you're a ministry. You're a church. Take all the microphones you need. Is that how it works? Look at these comfortable seats that you are seated on. Now money fetch them. The soup was sweet. Now money fetch them. Are you listening? This facility, you think we just say that we're a church too. And they say, hey, we build for you for free. It doesn't work like that. In fact, when they hear that you are church, they will increase the price. So what is the purpose of the tithe? So that the doors of the local church can stay open. There are people that serve in the local church. The pastor should be paid. Yeah, some pastors, they waive that right. But a pastor should be paid. Is that right? It's right. The people who serve, some people serve in some capacities and all that, they should be well taken care of. You see, in the Old Testament, when land was divided, God told Abraham that his descendants would be sojourners in a foreign land 400 years. Well, that nation he would judge, he bring them out with a strong hand. Well, 430 years after, God raised Moses, he took the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then, eventually, through Joshua, they got into Canaan, the promised land. And Israel, God gave them that land. When it was now, land was going to be divided. And Moses did their portioning and Joshua of the lands. God said something. He said, from what happened in Egypt, when judgment came upon Egypt and all the firstborns died, he said, all the firstborns in Israel are his own. He now said, however, so that we don't now start taking the firstborn from every family to serve in the worship of God, this is what I will do. God said so. He said, I will take one tribe in Israel. That tribe was the tribe of Levi. And what will the Levites do? They will see to the temple. They will not be given land. They are not to walk. They are not to walk. Now God, talk him. No, be me. If you want to be angry with somebody, be angry with Jesus. You know, sometimes some people say, all these preachers, it's because they can't find work. Let me tell you something. Preachers are some of the most intelligent people you find. And some of the most accomplished people in the world. And some of the most diligent people that you can find. Are there preachers that are charlatans? There are. Are there preachers that merchandise the flock? There are. Are there people that steal people's money and all they're about is money? Yes. Is that right? It's not right. But you know, the cure to headache is not cutting off the head. Right? When you bathe a baby, do you throw the baby away with the dirty bath water? No, you throw away the bath water that is dirty. You keep your baby, isn't it? Because somebody went on this tangent and became materialistic and money-minded, does it mean we should go on the other tangent and we don't teach what the Word of God says about it? Of course not. Now, of course, if everything we talk about is money, then something is wrong with us. I always tell people, money must be last. Never pressure people about money. Don't do it. Don't fleece God's flock. Don't use gimmicks. Don't do any of those things. They are not right. However, there's another danger where we almost never teach about it. We almost never talk about it. That's not right either. So what am I saying? Your tithe belongs to the local church. Give offerings. Now, of course, it's not only church you should give to. You should take care of your, listen to me. If you are here, you're married, can I see your hand? Hear me and hear me good. Your wife is good ground. Sow into her life. Yes. Yes. But let me also add, your husband is good ground. Sow into his life. Yeah, one clap seems stronger than the other. Let me tell you another thing. Your children are good ground. Take good care of them. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, some people, the reason they are not prospering is because they are not taking care of their parents. Take care of your parents. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment we promise, that they may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Take care of your parents. Send money to your parents regularly. If you do it, God will bless you. You know, the breakthrough some people are looking for, once they start honoring their parents, and you see, you can respect with words, but you honor with substance. Are you listening? Honor them. Honor them. The way you talk to them, the way you take care of them. Let me tell you something. You will grow old. What you sow, you will reap. Check on them. Ask about their welfare. You know, there's someone who is needy, who is around you, and you can be a blessing. Be a blessing. Now, don't let anybody put you on a guilt trip. And don't let anybody think that you are ATM machine, and some people will just be pressuring you for money. No, you are not Father Christmas. And even if you are Father Christmas, Christmas is only one day. Do you understand? So you are not Jehovah Jireh. You won't meet everybody's needs. But to the degree that you can, be a blessing. Are you listening? Then let me tell you one other thing. While we're on this place, talking about ministry, being service, get involved, serve in the local church. Let your attitude be love, not pride. Let your attitude be you want to help, you want to be a blessing. Get behind the vision of the local church. Get behind the vision of the pastor. See, there are some people, the pastor is preaching. He sees them like this as he's preaching, and he almost forgets what he's trying to say. He's like, oh God, trouble, 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 oh, trouble. Which one will we see again today? You know, because they're always causing trouble. They're always fighting. They're always gossiping. They're always incorrigible. They're always, oh gosh, they're a nuisance. There's some other people, the pastor is preaching, sees their face like this. It's like the anointing on him doubles, or the anointing on her just increases, because they come behind the vision. They get behind the work. Are you listening? I'll tell you another area. Listen, most pastors will not say this to you, especially if they are your pastor. But you see, I'm a guest speaker. I'm a guest speaker. I can tell you. You know what it is? Take care of your pastor. See, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. It says, the laborer is worthy of his hire, is worthy of his reward. See, in 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Bible says that God has ordained that those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Let me tell you ahead of time, I'm not about to take an offering. Don't be nervous. So I'm not trying to take an offering. I'm just telling you some truths from God's word. What you do with those truths now up to you. But I trust that you love the Lord, right? And you want to do his word. I tell you something. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, God said he will honor those who honor him. If you honor God, God will honor you. You know one of the ways we honor God? By honoring ministry gifts. Particularly the office of the pastor. Let me tell you something. I'm not a pastor. So I'm not holding to my side. This thing that I'm saying will not help me. And it's okay. It's not about me. So understand the spirit behind what I'm saying. Honor your pastor. Honor your pastor. Take good care of your pastor. Let me tell you what I've noticed. I've never seen a church that had the move of God that was stingy to their pastor. I've never seen it. I've never seen a church that walked in the blessings of God that wasn't generous to their pastor. Whatever, I don't know what your policy is in this church. Maybe your pastor gets some salary. And if your pastor gets some salary, whoever the people are, the board and all that, you know, there's some people, their mindset is God. Keep our pastor humble and we will keep our poor. Those kind of people, they are devilish people. It's Satan that is in their, that they are listening to. That's devilish. Let me tell you something. I've slept under hot sun and I've slept inside AC. One was better. I've flown commercial, flown economy and I've flown private jet. One was better. Are you listening? Yeah. Let me tell you something. There are certain things, if they are sorted out in the life of your pastor will have more time to pray for you. I heard Pastor Higgins say something. He says, when a church member, and this, he had proven this over the years, a church member, a member of the church, is in a life or death situation. Maybe they are in the hospital, about to die, or maybe even they just died. Situations like that. He said, almost without fail, there's some people that just call him, they just call him Ken. He said, usually, he can't pray them out of death. Yeah. So usually. So it's not that he hasn't tried. He said he also discovered this by experience. So, but he noticed that the people that honor him, the people that regard him as their pastor and honor that office that he feels, the way they talk to him, the way they talk about him, the way they honor his words, he said almost without fail, he will pray them out of death. You know, a grace you don't honor will not work for you. Are you listening to me? Honoring a grace means you submit. You know, there are people, the pastor says one, they say five. Are you the only one that hears God? No. That thing you're saying. No, it can't be. No, we're not going to do it. Rebellion is growing in their brain. I know we don't have people like that in this church. You know, so get behind the vision. Support the pastor. Give to your pastor. Be deliberate about it. You know, what if you say that, pastor, every month, one bag of rice. Let me tell you something you don't know. You see, the pastor helps people more than you think. You think when people come to visit pastor, and let's say they haven't eaten, you think they won't eat? They will eat now. Out of food that, you know, they will. You think some people, they need transfer money. Some people need this. Some people need that. If you take care of your pastor, God will bless you for it. Are you listening? Yeah. Not just the pastor, the leaders. The leaders. You see, if the pastor, for instance, I'll give you an example. There are ushers in this church. Am I correct? There's service time. An usher ushers you and says, come and sit here. You look at the usher. Me and you. You and that pole. You just walk past as if it's a dog that is talking. Who are you really rebelling against? It's Jesus. Who put that usher there, head usher? Who put head usher? Maybe the leader in charge. Who put the leader in charge? The pastor. Who put the pastor? Jesus. Who put Jesus? God the Father. So ultimately, it's God that you're in rebellion to. Something about submitting to the authority. Let me tell you another thing. Look, if I'm not stepping on your toes and you're not stepping on mine, it's because we're not walking close enough together. If we walk close enough with each other, we'll step on each other's toes. Do issues arise? They arise. Some people feel that, why is this person that was put in that position and not me? Why is the pastor preaching long today? This guest that is preaching everlasting gospel, doesn't he know he should stop? You know? Do you understand? Look, we are different people. Different backgrounds. Different personalities. Different levels of spiritual growth and development. We see things differently. And it's okay. But you know something? We can disagree without being disagreeable. God knew ahead of time that we are liable to offend each other once in a while. So he said, be ye kind one to another. Ephesians 4:32. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, a local church is like a family. The same problems you see in a home, you see them in a church. Discipline problems. Financial issues sometimes. Different people having different challenges in their lives. Some quarrels in some families. Some people fighting their husbands. Some people fighting their wives. Some children not listening to their parents like they should. Some people not doing well in class. Different issues come up in a local church. But you see, as a body, the moment we decide that we're going to walk in love, we're going to keep Jesus as our focus. We're not going to let any other thing. We're not going to let money. We're not going to let anything else other than the gospel. Other than we want to see lives blessed. Other than we want to glorify God. That we're not going to be about self-aggrandizement. We're not going to be about building empire, personal kingdoms. No. We're going to be about building God's kingdom, building God's family, being a blessing. You know, sometimes there's another church somewhere. You are not in competition with another church. Are you listening? Yeah. Praise God. Thank God for them. Amen. We are children of the same Father, doing the same thing, having a common enemy, the devil. Are you listening? So first, the mandate. Second, the message. Third, the ministry. And finally, the method. What's the method? What method do we use? It's simple. The Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So our method is the anointing. Listen, What destroys the yoke is the anointing. Nothing can take the place of the anointing. Now, when I say anointing, do I mean falling under the power? Yes, the anointing can cause you to fall under the power. But there's more to the anointing than just falling under the power. The anointing is the power of the Spirit of God. It's a divine enablement. Are you listening? God calls different people and anoints them differently. Find what God has called you to do. If you will stay with what God called you to do, the anointing of God on your life will grow. If you'll be faithful to study, be faithful to pray, and be faithful to obey God, the anointing on your life will increase. And remember, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Listen, we must contend for the move of the Spirit. We must contend for the supernatural. Nothing changes people's lives like the power of God. When we see the power of God in display, my God, see, one miracle in the name of Jesus will do more than 1,000 dead sermons. Just one miracle. Just one miracle. The supernatural. Gifts of the Spirit. Demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. We must contend for that. And you see, as a local church, you can walk in the power of God. Say, how do we walk in the power of God? How can we see more manifestations of the Spirit in our church? It's simple. As a church, you need to be hungry for the move of God. As a church, you need to pray for manifestations of the Spirit. And as a church, those things need to be taught about. Are you listening? Let me tell you something. Gifts of the Spirit are not just for the pulpit. They are also for the pew. They are also for the pew. Philip, he had just been made a deacon. Yet, he went to Samaria and he had a citywide revival. Stephen, he had just been appointed to serve food in church. Yet, he did great wonders and miracles. Ananias, I'm not talking about Sister Sapphira's husband. I'm talking about the other Ananias. Jesus appeared to him, told him the street address of Saul of Tarsus, told him what had happened to him 3 days prior, told him the vision he had, told him his name, told him go lay hands on him and he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, one day, I was going down the road and then I heard on the inside of me, turn left, I turned left. I kept moving. Then I heard turn right. When I got to a particular place, I turned right. Then I heard turn this way, I turned. Then I heard turn that way, I turned. Then I got in front of one place. And then the Lord said to me, go inside that place. There's a man there who's sick. I want you to pray for him. Well, I knocked. You know, so I got in. I greeted the person. I said, well, I was passing and I just seemed to feel led that, you know, somebody was here who was sick. The man said, it's me. Told me how he had used this drug, that drug, the other drug. It wasn't better. Well, I didn't teach him anything. I just laid hands on him, prayed, turned around, walked away. About 3 weeks after, he met me on the road somewhere. He shouted, you are the one that came to my place. You are the one that came to my place. Which one? Then he recounted such and such a place. Oh, I said, I remember. He said, almost as soon as I turned and left, he said, the power of God came on him and he was perfectly healed. And this was weeks after he still healed. You see, God wants to do those kind of things. And who does God want to use? All of us. We must contend for the move of the Spirit. We must contend for the move of the Spirit. God can do stuff. I was preparing for a meeting. As I was praying, getting ready, all of a sudden, I had the audible. Now, most times, the way God speaks to me is an inward witness, just like he speaks to you. Sometimes I hear the still small voice of my own spirit, like you also do. But some other times, not too many, I hear the audible authoritative voice of the Holy Ghost. When I do, It's like there's somebody in the room. And then the person speaks and I hear it loud. The way you can hear me. The first time I had an experience like that was August 20, 1989. It was a Sunday, about 4:30 in the evening. I actually turned. I said, who said that? There was nobody in the room. I checked under the bed. Is there somebody hiding there? I checked inside the wardrobe. Is there somebody in there? Oh, then I remembered. That must have been what happened to Samuel. That was the voice he heard. And he went to meet Eli. Did you call me? Yeah, authoritative. So God can do things like that. Sometimes God shows me visions. Sometimes I have dreams. Sometimes I have things like that. But listen, gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit of God wills. They are the Spirit of God wills. Sometimes I'm hoping, let God move this way. Let God, and he doesn't. What do? I just preach the word. I'm not a performer. I'm a minister. Are you listening? One fellow invited me to a meeting one time. He said, sir, we want you to manifest. I felt like answering there. I'm not a demon. Neither am I the Holy Ghost. Those things are as the Spirit of God wills. They are as the Spirit of God wills. Amen. Praise God. Please, could you come? Let's lift our hands to him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. What was that? That was the Holy Ghost. Sometimes he just does things like that. Do I control it? I don't. If it's me, I'll do it every time. But it's not me. It's not me. And that's why it will never be us. Because if it was us, we'll get ourselves into trouble. You know, we'll try to. Have you seen a little child that had toy? Just got new toy. He wants to show everybody his toy. But that's not how it works. Those things as the Spirit of God wills. There's the Spirit of God wills. There's someone, you have a pain on your side. Yeah, put your hand there. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that pain. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Someone who's been having migraine headaches. Sometimes it's the left side of your head. Some other times it's the right side of your head. Sometimes it's the back of your head. Just these horrible headaches. And when the thing is there full force, you can't see the sun. You have to stay somewhere dark. Who are you? All right, put your hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, migraine, I speak to you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Someone who's having heart palpitations. Actually, it's a spirit of fear. You know, there's something you're afraid of and then your heart begins to, you begin to have palpitation. That fear is so real, that sometimes your heart, you begin to have palpitation. It's fear concerning something. Fear concerning something. You know, that thing will not happen. That thing will not happen. That thing will not happen. And God has not given you a spirit of fear. Let me tell you something. If there is a fear thought, it's not from inside you, it's from outside. What do you do with it? You rebuke it. Anytime a thought, a fearful thought, or a doubt thought comes, you speak against it. You stand against it. And listen to me. Faith will work in the heart with doubt in the head. Faith will work in the heart with fear in the head. That you have a fear thought or you have a doubt thought doesn't mean you are fearful. Doesn't mean you are doubting. It's a thought. Thoughts may come and they may persist. But thoughts that are not expressed in words or in actions die unborn. What do you do? Don't voice them out. Don't act on them. Instead, rebuke them. Someone, your ankle, in one of your legs, you're having a pain in your ankle. Who are you? Okay, you know what the Lord told me to tell you? Just hit that ankle on the floor. Just hit that ankle and begin to do what you couldn't do with it. Because the power of God is working on you and you are healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Somebody, you lost a loved one. Someone, a close friend of yours died. And you did everything. You prayed, you fasted, you did everything. But the person still died. And since that time, you've been a little disappointed at God. That's how I'm just being brutal about it. You felt like, well, I prayed, but I fasted, but we did everything. Why did this person die? I believed God. And you felt a little disappointed. And that thing now, When there's something you want to pray about it, the thought comes, what if it doesn't happen like that one didn't happen? Amen. Every head bowed and eye closed. I don't want to embarrass you. If you're that person, lift up your hand. Amen. And then put it down. I have something to tell you. If you're the person, lift up your hand and put it down. Okay, I see your hand. Put it down. You see, God did not kill that person. And sometimes, some things are not in God's power to do. You say, hey, what do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. God will not violate somebody else's will. If somebody decides they are going to die, God will not force them to live. Jesus never told anybody, according to my faith, be it unto you. It was always according to your faith, be it unto you. You see, man is a free moral agent. Your faith will work for you in your own life. When it involves somebody else, particularly if the person is not a baby Christian, what that person believes, what that person says, and what that person wants goes a long way in determining what they will have. You understand? So don't feel badly about it. And you see, that loved one is in heaven. That loved one is jumping up and down streets of gold. You know, I tell you, you see, the tears we cry when we lose loved ones, they are selfish. They are selfish. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let me ask you a question. Supposing you have this loved one and your loved one gets a new job, and that new job, let's say, is in Canada, but you're not going to see them for 20 years. That new job, they will be paid 10 times what they are being paid now. They're going to have live in a house. The house is gold. The services are excellent. Everything is just good, you know. And you hear that news. What will you do? You start crying. My friend. You say, what happened to your friend? He got a better job. What happened? My friend is in a better place. Better opportunities. Will we not say you're a witch? I know. When we lose a loved one, it's okay to shed tears. Even Jesus cried when he wept when Lazarus died. But take consolation in this fact. They have gained. They are with Jesus. Are you listening? Yeah. We don't always know why certain things happened. If God wants us to know, he will tell us. If he doesn't tell us, leave it alone. Do you understand? And judge God faithful. 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 Amen. Father, thank you for the message today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for stirring us up about the mandate, the message, the ministry, and the method. We will go forth as able ministers of the New Testament. We'll do what you've called us to do. We'll be a blessing to the body of Christ. We will reach the lost. We will commit ourselves in our local church, and we will be all that God wants us to be. With every head bowed and eye closed, maybe you're here today under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Listen to me, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. Anybody like that? There might be, there might not. But in case there is, could you just lift up your hand? If you are here, you're not born again. Or you're born again, but you haven't been walking in fellowship with God. You've been living in broken fellowship for a while and you want to get back in fellowship with God. Anybody like that? Thank you, my brother, for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're not born again. Thank you, sir, for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you, my sister, for that hand. Anybody else? You're not saved and you want to get saved. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Or maybe you're saved, but you just haven't been walking in fellowship with God like you should for a while. You've been living in broken fellowship and you want to get back in fellowship. Can I see your hand? Anybody else? Thank you, my brother, for that hand. Now, if you lifted your hand, should have lifted your hand, wanted to lift up your hand, thinking of lifting up your hand, I want you to do something. Come and join me right here. I want to pray for you and pray with you. Amen. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I want to pray for you and pray with you. Come and join me. Those who lifted their hands, those who wanted to lift their hands, those who should have lifted their hands, those who are thinking of lifting their hands, come and join me right here. I want to do exactly what I said. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. You want to join them? You feel a tug in your heart? Just come forward. No use arguing with the Lord. No use arguing with the Lord. Want to make a decision? Come. Praise God. Amen. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. See, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Amen. He loves you just as you are. Now, a number of people are out. If you came out, and what you came out for was to get back in fellowship with God. You're saved, or you've been in living in broken fellowship, and you want to get back in fellowship with God. If that's what you came for, lift up your hand. Okay. So that's everybody. Okay. Now, this is what I want you to do. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, I'm your child. Sometime in the past, I received Jesus into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior. Believing in my heart that you, Father, raised him from the dead. And I got born again. So I know I'm born again. But for some time now, I haven't been walking with you. I haven't been walking in fellowship with you like I should. You said in your word that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess it to you. Confess my backslidings. I confess those sins. Living in broken fellowship. I thank you because you forgive me now. Thank you because I'm restored to fellowship with you now. In Jesus' name. Say with me, you are able to make me stand. You are able to keep me from falling. I trust you to do that. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, let me ask, among those who are out, is there anybody who wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost? Anybody? Weren't filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? You weren't filled. Anybody else? You weren't filled. You weren't filled. Okay, you are not filled. Those of you who prayed that prayer, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to go with this lady here. Those who came out, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just go with her. If you are not yet filled, wait, I'll get you filled right now. Those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, just go with her. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, just go with her. Now, if you weren't filled, wait. Amen. If you weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't speak in tongues, just wait. I'll get you filled. Amen. Now, if you are there in the crowd, so all of you who are here, you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, right? You don't speak in tongues. And you would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. You need the Holy Ghost. It will empower you to live a victorious life, to overcome sin, to overcome the flesh, to overcome temptations, to be a witness for Jesus. Now, among those who are seated, if you are born again, walking in fellowship with God, but you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in tongues, and you are seated, can I see your hand? Okay. If you want to be filled, come and join them. Yeah, if you like to be, if you don't want to be, don't bother. But if you want to be, we'll get you filled right now. Acts 19:6 says, Paul laid hands on them. It says the Holy Ghost came on them. And it says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I will lay hands on you. The moment I lay hands on you, the Holy Ghost will come on you. What do you do? He'll give you the utterance, or you will do the speaking. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? Just like you received Jesus, by faith. By faith, the same way. The same way. Jesus said in John 7, 37 to 39, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, who they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is as easy as drinking water. Are you hearing me? Okay. Now, this is what I want you to do. Close your eyes. Nothing special in closing your eyes. It just helps you to concentrate. And say these words and mean them. Mean them. Say with me, Father, I'm your child. Jesus is my Lord. He died for me. He was raised from the dead for me. Not only is he my Lord, he's my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. As hands are laid on me now, the Holy Spirit comes upon me. I yield to him by speaking in tongues in Jesus' name. That's it. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. 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 In the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Now, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what I want you to do. Whatever word, sound, phrase, syllable that seems easy for you to speak, just go ahead and speak it out. You won't know what it sounds like until you say it. Whatever word, sound, phrase, or syllable that seems easy for you to speak, just speak it out. Amen. Just speak it out. All of us, don't speak English, don't speak Igbo, don't speak your natural vernacular. Just whatever word, sound, phrase, or syllable that seems easy for you to speak, just speak it out.
Ayama, ayama, rabatabakaba.
That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it, that's it. 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 Whatever word, sound, phrase, syllable that seems easy for you to speak, just speak it out. You won't know what it sounds like until you say it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yeah. That's it. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Nemvara pagala sosa fikele para da vita. Vanambra dolos tokora verapa papara da deso kothuga reviva. Levanombra bava lo suko tokera da deva la papa papara di sekare vrono. Yeah, let's all continue. Let's pray in the spirit a little bit. Let's lift our hands to him and praise him. Now, these ones, it seems they are all filled. It seems they are all speaking in tongues. I just asked them to go. Who can they go to? Yeah, you can see the lady right here by the door. Just turn around. The church will just get some information across to you. Yeah, please just turn around and go with, yeah, you see the lady wearing the black shirt. Yeah, praise God. Let's celebrate them. Let's clap for them. All of us, let's say together, I am an able minister of the New Testament. I will contend for the supernatural. I will go forth with the bandit. I will go with the message. I will feed on the message. I will practice the message. I will preach the message. I will do the ministry. I will serve the body of Christ. I will serve my local church. And I will walk in God's method in the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you get something out of that? Well, give Jesus a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.